As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to space for everyday women to go from surviving to thriving by pursuing a purpose that's truly rooted in faith. And now, we're also becoming the premier space for Christian coaches and therapists to finally learn how to integrate faith into their practice without being churchy or limiting their audience. Each week, we'll merge biblical wisdom with practical everyday application so that you can be empowered to excel in every facet of your life and business. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. We are in our final installment of the Bible Study Blitz series, which has been brought to you by The Society. Make sure, like I said before, if you want to catch these lessons live, you're a member of the Society. We have Q&A sessions that I've had to trim. And some of these sessions, some of the Q&As all by themselves are 45 minutes an hour. Because when I teach, baby, I want to make sure that you get all the things, that you understand all the lesson, and all your questions are answered. So I'm there until questions are answered and all hearts and minds are clear, honestly. So it is a great time. As I said before, I teach every 2 weeks in the Society. So this is something that I do frequently. We are going to hop right back in talking about the poison of pride. And this week, we're going to talk about how pride seeps into our lives, the three-point strategy that the enemy uses to build pride in your life. We're going to talk about the cost associated with pride, and then I'm going to help you with a very easy peasy three-point strategy on how to manage pride. So we've already introduced the issue, and then we're going to talk about what you need to do or implement to really overcome pride in your own life. And of course, it ain't a Bible study lesson if I don't show y'all how little Lucy out here trying to play y'all, okay? So that is what we're going to get ready to talk about. Grab your notes, secure your edges, sis, and I will see you on the other side of this lesson. So if God always makes a way of escape, every time that man call you, every time you want to overeat, every time you want to do whatever your vice is, God has allowed and made room for you to escape. So is it the devil, or are we allowing our pride, our flesh, because we want what our flesh wants, and that's rooted in pride? Is it the devil, or is it our decisions? Now, will the devil exploit that? Yup. It's warfare, baby. It's warfare. Okay, if we tussling, we going all the way down to your mama jokes. like it's warfare. But is it the devil? He just came in your body and made you call that man? I don't think so. I don't think so, girl. I don't think so. God pulled up on me. He said, Charlotte, is it your husband stressing you out? Or do you have pride? And you somehow think that you're better than him. And I said, oh my God, Lord. That's why I don't have no patience. I want grace from God, but I'm not extending grace to my husband. That's pride, girl. Period. Because that's his son. I'm going to read y'all what my study Bible says about 1 John 2, 15 through 16. It says, some people think that worldliness only has to do with external behavior, the people we associate with, the places we go, the activities we enjoy. But worldliness affects us internally because it begins in the heart and is characterized by three attitudes: craving for physical pleasure, preoccupation with gratifying physical desires, craving for everything we see, the accumulation of things, bowing to a little g god of materialism, and pride in our achievements and possessions, the obsession with our status or importance. When the serpent tempted Eve in Genesis 3 and 6, he tempted her in these areas. When the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, these were also the three areas of attack in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. By contrast, God values self-control, generosity, and a commitment to humble service. It is possible to give the impression of avoiding worldly pleasures while still harboring worldly desires in one's heart. But like Jesus, we should love sinners and spend time with them while closely adhering to the values of God's kingdom. What values are most important to you? Do your actions reflect the world's value or God's value? And when I read this, my same friend had to slide into her. I said, girl, the way God just assaulted me. Self-control, generosity, commitment to humble service. So how does pride seep in? Three ways. This is the enemy's strategy. This is how he got Eve. Okay, he got all of spiritual Meemaw just like this. This is how Meemaw got. She got the diabetes. And if you don't want it, you got to stay away from these three things. First thing he did was provided a counterfeit. God literally gave them all of the trees, all the fruit, all the things. He gave them everything. And the enemy came and said, don't this tree look good? He provides a counterfeit. So then we no longer have gratitude and we become discontent with what we do have. You're so fixated on what you want, the lust of the eyes, that you ignore what you have. How many of us, we've been fasting for the last 2 weeks, but baby, we're doing this out of humility and God stretching us. There are children, babies that fast all day, not on purpose, but because their parents don't have money for food. And we have the audacity, the sheer audacity to act like God doesn't provide. Are you hungry? Not by choice, involuntarily starving. An old coworker of mine lost her husband last Monday. And I'm complaining about mine? Baby, I'm glad you're getting on my nerves today. I'm glad you're here to get on my nerves. Gratitude. Because the minute the enemy provides a counterfeit, and some of these counterfeits aren't even physical things, physical people, it's like scenarios that you've made up in your head of what life could and should and would be like. And you're so busy trying to get to that little pretend life that you don't value what you have. Counterfeit. Those ain't even Louboutins. It's red paint from Walmart. But they look and have the appearance of. Next, what does he do next? He always accuses God of concealing something. He always accuses God, oh, he just don't want you to have it. It's good for you, but he don't want you to have it. He don't want you to be as smart as him. He don't want you to have it. Didn't he not say that he'll withhold no good thing? So who are you going to believe? God or the devil? Because you have made an idol of what the thing that you think God should and could do. Do you think he's, God, if you just give this to me, then I'm going to do better. If you give me this money, girl, you can't handle $10. I'm not going to give you $1,000. You're going to be in debt and you're going to be poor. You don't know how to handle that. I'm not keeping anything from you. I'm a good father. And I know when you don't have the maturity to handle something, because to whom much is given, much is required. I don't take it lightly that God has allowed me to speak his word to y'all. But y'all don't see. There's a lot that people don't see. That's why I was telling you, like, girl, please do not idolize anything I do. I'm tired. And I'm not saying this to complain. I'm telling you that the life that you think that you want, you don't see the other side of it. So it looks great when we're at Bible study. But did you see me go to bed last night at 1 o'clock and wake up for prayer and then have to go to the lab and get my labs drawn and being sleepy and tired? And I've been doing it for the last 14 days. Do you see that this is my only day off? This is my weekend to work. So I work Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I'm here right now because to whom much is given, much is required. And I'm not saying that to complain, but baby, let me give you some perspective. I'm working on my day off, the only one I have this week. So don't be upset when God tells you no. I'm so grateful that God has given me grace to do this. Not only grace, but my husband also was like, girl, you ain't ate and you got to eat before you teach. Right? But y'all don't see that. You don't see when we are having prayer calls weeks before we start these fasts to make sure that our spirits are right before we handle y'all. People just, you want the platform, but you don't understand. Like, God's not withholding nothing from you. You can do it, but it's heavy. This is why I go in Bible study. Like, yeah, girl, you do have a ministry in your life, and it's not for the faint of heart. Life is going to keep lifing. Life is going to keep lifing. And we have to lean on God. I've experienced so much warfare. Last week, my one sister got Baker acted. That's like, she had like a mental health crisis. Like there was, it's just thing after thing after thing. But you think that, oh, I wouldn't be like Dr. Shiloh. Girl, no, you don't even ghetto. Please. Like, there's some stuff that's ghetto. But God has graced me. Be careful what you're asking for. Maybe ask God, like, what can I do to prepare for the things that I'm asking you for? You want the husband, but this man be stealing my food. Please. Talking about 48-hour rule. No, you better be on the first 48, sir. Prepare me. You know I'm studying, getting ready to teach Bible study. And you and your first son in here on the couch, I had to put them out my office. You don't, get out. know. Both of y'all are distracting me. We want to be where you at. We can do that after. You can be where I'm at. As soon as I get done, get out my office. I love you. Goodbye. You don't see that. You just want the man, want the man, want the man. It's a responsibility. Marriage is a ministry. It's constant servitude to one another and God. Can't cuss them out because that's God's son and I got to answer to that. Yes, Chris Brown, very much so, Victory. You want to skip the preparation and the process and you're going to get hurt. Imagine driving a car with no license. Driving is a privilege that requires responsibility, and you want to do the fun part without you actually having to do the work. Do you know that when I thought I was going to bed after work last night and I literally am tired, that God finally answered my prayer about what to teach about? And I'm on my phone, half asleep in my notes section, trying to take notes so I don't forget to download. Sorry, we could have did this Tuesday. But God is growing me and he's taking the training wheels off. So as I pray for the baby and I'm like believing God to do the thing, he's like, hey, Seth, you know how you used to spend 12 hours getting ready for one Bible study? You're not going to be able to do that. And so now we got to get prepared. You're going to have to learn you have to take the training wheels off. I'm very much so a student. I will write a book for one Bible study lesson. And I'm uncomfortable. Like, bro, you could have told me this like right now, God. Like, literally, I'm falling asleep. Okay. I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you. And then I thought I was going to have time this morning. But I was at the lab for 2 hours getting blood work done because I had to go see my nephrologist on Tuesday. 2 hours. And then God said, hey, make sure your husband and your household has food to eat this week. And I'm like, God, I know that you know that we got stuff to do tonight. But like, for real? But he's not keeping anything from me. He's just showing me how to prepare, that I don't need to be in my closet for 17 hours, because he could talk to me and give me the lesson anywhere. He was teaching me the lesson when that little boy, that really happened yesterday. You're not the best mom anymore. That happened to me yesterday at work. And he wasn't even being seen. His sister was. Like God literally, if you abide in him, he's everywhere you are. And then the last way that pride seeps in, that the enemy really be yoking us up, is through the promise of increased capacity and clout. Baby, you'll do anything for increased capacity and clout. Then if you eat this real quick, you'll be like, God, if you get these stones, girl, please, I will knock you over the head with these crystals. Please, please stop it. Please stop it. Please stop it. I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to put it in some sock, in a sock like Homie the Clown, and I'm going to knock you out with these stones. Please. This provides me protection. It's about to provide you a concussion. Please. It's going to provide you a concussion in about 3 seconds. You want to be seen. You want to be like God. It's not comfortable being seen all the time. I don't want to be seen. And that's also pride. Me withholding, me not using God, his gift that he put on the inside of me, me not using that to the maximum capacity. So when God says, Charla, start making more video content, I'm like, I'll write more blogs. I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't tell you to do that. That's also pride, me trying to circumvent what God said because I want to be comfortable to me. I don't want to deal with the opinions of people, but how dare I allow the opinions or the perceived opinions, because half the stuff ain't even happened yet that you worried about, Charla, of the perceived danger I'm more worried about that than I am displeasing God, whose pimp hand is real strong. He flooded the whole earth. So you're telling me you're more insecure about the way that you look? That bothers you and it holds more weight to you than you displeasing God? Dang, that's crazy. Sounds like you're your own God. Sounds like what people say in the comments, that's your God and not Jehovah. Like that's not it. I don't even think God be laughing at our plans. People are like, girl, hush. The scripture says, I know the plan that I have for you. And we go to him with our plan and be like, bless this though, instead. I don't want to, no. Your plan, get that out of here. Bless this one. I made one. It's better. I made some revisions. I'm going to do it my way like Usher. Okay. And if you can just sign off on this, I need your signature here, here, and here. And then get upset with him. God, why you let this happen to me? You're the one not following the plan. I don't think he's laughing. I think he's like, girl, okay. Okay. I don't even think he thinks it's funny because he knows that us being outside of his will is dangerous. I don't think he's laughing at us being like, he's like, girl, don't do it. I said, no. Hold my hand before you cross the street. Okay, you gonna run? All right. So when you get hit by the car, I'm gonna be there, but don't be blaming me. I told you to hold my hand across the street. But just like toddlers think that I can do it myself. I can do it myself. Me do it. That's how we look. We think we have more capacity than we actually have. And the enemy provides counterfeits. He accuses God of concealing things from us. And then he promises you clout. And then we fall for it, hook, line, and sinker every time. And we have the audacity to talk about Meemaw, but we look just like Lil Eve. Who's that girl? You. Me. Us. That's who's that girl? Us. It'd be us, right? It's us. You begin to idolize what you could have. You think God is withholding something that you should have. And you don't care anymore about what you do have. That job that you prayed and fasted and God is a blessing you're complaining about now. This is how pride gets in. I hope y'all taking notes. So now when you feel a way about something, hold on, God, before I start acting crazy. That look good. This is where discernment comes in with the counterfeits. That look good, but is it really you? Because everything that look good ain't God, even if it's scripture attached to it, baby, because half the time the scripture don't be fully interpreted and it ain't no context. Huh. I heard Jackie Hill Perry say it, that a lot of these prosperity teachers have you read the Bible so you can love yourself more and not love God more. And that's crazy. And I agree with her. That's crazy. That's crazy. When we are in Bible study, yes, exegesis versus eisegesis. Correct, Sansari. Correct. I always exegete the text. The reason my Bible studies be a whole read like this is because, baby, I just tell you what God has said in the Word. With love. With empathy, because he's talking to me too. I need the very word that I teach. He really yoked me up about me and my husband this week. And I'm like, God, dog. I had to repent. I went and apologized about it. This ain't even recent. It's just over the span of our relationship. I apologized to my husband. I said, you know, God really showed me that, like, I'm giving you some good, clean cuss outs that were just wrong. And I just want to apologize for any sins that I may believe. He will tell you right now, I did that this week. Like, let me just apologize because I'm just, God has brought some things 24-year-old me said. I said, oh, put it away. I don't want to see that. Let me just re-apologize. Sincerely. Sincerely.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
The point of praying and fasting isn't always, I didn't ask for that. That was not on my prayer list. But thank you for showing me me. Thank you for showing me things that are keeping me separated from you. All right, y'all, I promise, I know it's been a minute. All right, so what is the price of pride? Like I said, our next session, we're going to dive into these more. But I want you to see these scriptures. The first price of pride is that pride distorts the perception of reality. You think you good, you're not. You are out here. Pride is the reason why people are gonna walk up to Jesus and be like, "Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I did this in your name." And he'll be like, "I don't even know you." Alicia Keys said, "You don't know my name. What? Please. I don't even know you." And the reason that people can be doing things, quote unquote, for God and get an "I never knew you" is because pride distorts the perception of reality. You think you're doing that for God. You're really doing it for clout. Pride also makes you susceptible to the plots and the ploys of the enemy. This scripture right here, God showed me after the other one. In 2 Timothy, if y'all remember this week, Tatum encouraged us to go read 2 Timothy about, because the God is not giving you a spirit of fear, etc. And I was like, actually, that's not a bad idea. Let me see what Tim up to, because I ain't talked to him in a minute. So I'm reading and I get to Timothy 3 and 6. And Paul is warning Timothy about all of these different pastors and preachers that are false teachers, and telling Timothy, like, you need to make sure you stand your ground on what is being said. And then I got to this particular scripture where he's talking about what these false teachers are going to do. And I'm going to read it to y'all. Paul said, they, talking about these false preachers, are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. I'm not going to go into it because, this, like I said, it's a whole nother lesson. But girl, which one of y'all then had a pastor, a leader, a teacher? Either one, condemning you and holding sin over your head, or two, you're so controlled. You're not moved by God. You're moved by the desire. God told me to start the business. No, he didn't. He told you to go back to school. But you think starting a business is the way that you're going to make money, not knowing that if you go and get the degree, God's going to bless you 10, 100, a million fold. He didn't say your desire. You're driven by your desires and not by what God said. 2 Timothy 3:6, gather me. And then the last price of pride that none of us really want to talk about is that pride is punishable by God. Proverbs 16:5, the Lord detests the proud. They will what? Surely be punished. Not they might. But for sure, you're right on. Let's keep what we say. For sure, you're right on. They'll be punished. There's another scripture that we'll look at when we talk about this next week about seven things that God hates. The first thing on the list ain't got nothing to do with homosexuality. It ain't got nothing to do with Beyonce. Baby, the first thing on the list that God hates is pride. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, we're on to something. We latch on to all of these things that we think that God is really displeased with, but it says seven things that God hates. First thing, prideful eyes. Oh, that's crazy. That's the first thing on the list. Two things on the list have to do with you running your mouth and lying on people. And I'm not saying that those things, that homosexuality isn't sin. It is. And also, we make that the measuring stick. Jackie Hill Perry said, we act like being straight is a fruit of the spirit. And it's not. That's how much we uphold that in the Christian community. But a lot of us are dealing with pride. It's killing us. Slowly and softly. And we don't want to talk about that. That don't get clicks and views. That doesn't get outrage culture. You want to condemn them, but condemn your pride. So let's be for real. Pride is the first thing on the list of things that God hates. So how do you manage? Here's three things. This is your action plan. I need you to understand that pride is a chronic condition. Okay? Pride is a chronic condition. What is a chronic condition? In healthcare, a chronic condition is anything that lasts longer than 3 months, and it requires for you to be continually monitored. So for me, I told y'all I have a syndrome called Little syndrome. It is a chronic condition. I've had it now, I've had it forever, but exacerbated for a really long time, right? So what do? I manage it. I take lots of meds. I take six pills a day. So I take my meds, right? I take my meds. I also have to watch what I eat. I cannot eat stuff with a bunch of salt. Just because I'm on blood pressure meds doesn't mean that it's not dumb for me to eat a bunch of sodium. That's crazy, because I know that I'm already genetically predisposed to hypertension. Why would I feed that thing? Doesn't that sound crazy? Why would I feed the very thing that I'm genetically predisposed to? So my little love, my little affinity that I had for Flamin' Hot Cheetos and pickles had to go. Yes, I love Flamin' Hot Cheetos and pickles. And for a minute, I had a little slip because they came out with them Flamin' Hot Doritos. And my husband will tell you, I had red dust everywhere. I was back in love. And God had to yoke me up like, girl, look at the back of the bag. Look at all the sodium. Is that really managing? Is that managing the chronic illness that you have? Are you using wisdom? So I gave him up again, and the heartburn that came with it. It was good though for a minute. But I have to manage things. So I have to watch what I eat, exercise, take my medication. I'm medicated. And then I have to be monitored. I told y'all, I have a nephrology appointment on Tuesday. So every 6 months, I have to get lots of blood drawn. And then I go talk to the kidney doctor and he goes, you're looking great.
man told me that he's impressed because my kidney function is impeccable. I said, I know, because I belong to God, period. I know it is. Because he's keeping me. Period. The same way that I have to manage with watching what I do, making sure I'm taking my medicine, and going to the doctor, we have to manage pride that same way. We have a chronic condition. You're never, ever so sanctified that pride won't seep in. What happens is it shows up a different way. So yeah, sure, you're not cussing people out no more, but you isolate yourself. You're making decisions before you pray. You're not waiting on God to speak. These are not things that are out loud sins. These are heart postures. Just because your sin is on mute, as Beyonce said, doesn't mean it don't exist. So you should be monitoring your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines what you do. That's Proverbs 4:23. You should be monitoring. God, where is pride showing up? That should be a frequent question, a frequent prayer. God, reveal to me where pride may be in my life. The next time you're frustrated or short-tempered about something, you're impatient, ask yourself where pride is. Where you feel like you got to cut somebody out because you heard that they had said something about you. That's pride. Yeah, we're not gonna let nobody beat us. Okay, anime? However, we're arguing on the internet like most of us didn't graduate high school in 2008. That's a long time ago. Okay. The babies who were born the year that we graduate, they're getting ready to graduate. That's how long ago it was. So we're going to leave the childish thing behind, because when we were children, we spoke as children, and now we're adults. And so we speak bills fluently. So we shouldn't have time to be arguing with people online that we don't know. That's pride. Your pride has to be medicated. Says pride leads to disgrace, but humility comes with wisdom. Wisdom is in the word. If you are not studying the word, that's pride. Every day that you get up, you're like, oh, I don't have time. We don't have a time issue. We have a pride issue. Because you make time for stuff that's foolish. Like scrolling on Beyonce's internet. You done watched every Keith Lee food review, but you ain't studied nothing. Intentional study. You want to know why you have anxiety, but you're not thinking on what's true, what's lovely. You're not doing none of that because you don't even feed that to yourself. You're not even taking your medicine. The name of my business being Prescription for Purpose is not on accident. I don't write none of the prescriptions. I like this job. I'm not writing my name. I don't write none of these prescriptions. God wrote the prescription. I just get to administer it to you. Like, that's not an accident. The scriptures are the prescription. So your pride has to be medicated, meaning that you should be in your word, like your life depends on it, because it does. And pride has to be managed. Scripture says your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. The rest of the scripture in verse 23 says, when your eye is not healthy, it's dark. Okay? It's dark. It says when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is, that's pride. What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you meditating on? Where is your hope? Where is your peace? The songs say, who do you run to when you need love? If it's that man, girl, it's a problem. And I have a husband. I go to God before I go to my husband, because there are some things and some conversations where God be like, uh-uh, don't talk to him about that. I'll deal with it. I'm going to give y'all this example. my boss and I get along really well. She did something I didn't like. And I was like, God, I sat on it. I meditated on it. And I had made a decision. This just happened this week. I made a decision like, you know what? I'm going to pull up on her respectfully. But I'm going to pull up on her and be like, hey, girl, don't do that again. Right? Like, with dignity, I'm not, oh, I'm about to cut her. No. But like, I just need to set a boundary. And I had said something to a friend of mine. And God was like, you need to go back to her. Because you're talking to her. You ain't really talked to me about it yet. I hear you talking about it, but you're not talking to me about it. And I said, you right. Had to go to my friend. Was like, girl, forget everything I just said. And it wasn't anything derogatory. I was like, I think I'm going to talk to her because I'm really like annoyed and bothered by this. And I said, you know what, God, you're right. So yesterday on my way into work, I was like, God, I really need you to let me know if I need to go talk to Miss Boss Lady because I'm feeling away, but I don't want to do anything outside of you. So just make it plain. Just make it plain. Make it plain for me. When I got to work, I literally walked through the door and the receptionist was like, hey, boss lady on the phone, she want to talk to you real quick. And I literally laughed out loud. And the conversation wasn't about directly what I was upset about. Directly. However, she was course correcting what she did. Unbeknownst, and I know it only had to be God. She was like, hey, I wanted to follow up about such and such. Sorry, the other day I was doing X, Y, and Z, and I just wanted to follow up and make sure you got what you needed. I was like, oh my God. Oh, that's crazy. This happened to me last night. I said, God, you are good. You are good. It postured my heart. Because he said, I'll deal with it. You only got to go on it. Because I was in there thinking like, okay, so what am I going to walk in and say? Like, I want to make sure that my behavior is not crazy. Like, but also I need to let you know, like the way that you handled that was not okay with me. And if we need to come up with a new way to do things, I'm down with that. But we can't do this again because it makes me not, I felt away and I don't want to have that level of hostility towards you, right? If you have an alt against somebody, you have to address it. But when I cannot make this up. I walked in, homegirl on the phone was like, hey, boss lady on the phone. I got her on a hold for you. And the very thing that I was going to be like, hey, I didn't really, like, I had asked you about X, Y, and Z and the way you responded. Like, I was a little taken aback. Like, did I offend you? Like, what's good? She was circling back. And one thing that God kept saying to me is, Charlotte, everybody's entitled to a bad day. And I was like, touche. And also, I'm going to let her know that the day was bad. She needs to be self-aware that she was having a bad day when she talked to me. Like, it wasn't crazy, but enough where I was like, it's bothering me. And I'm the type of person, I'm going to say something respectfully. And that when I say respectfully, it's not even being funny. I just like, I like coming to work. And so before I let a root of bitterness, I was using scripture like, okay, I just don't want bitterness to be in my heart because that will happen. And so I said, okay, God, whatever. I'm going to let you have it. I'm neutral about the situation. And he fixed it. He fixed it. I was befuddled. But also, I'm like, yeah, of course my father. Of course he did. Because he knew I would go probably say something. But he fixed it. So when God says that he cares about every area of our life, he does. Okay. I know this session was long. Now, to be fair, we didn't start till like 7:50. But any questions? Thank y'all for staying. Did this give what it was supposed to? Do you feel like you have what you need to leave this fast? anything that you're dealing with that's, that you're struggling with, pride is at the root. Just know that. What about this? Where am I prideful at in this? God, I'm mad at my husband. Okay, but where's my pride showing? Charlotte, you couldn't have just let him eat the food? Yeah, but it's mine. But are we not to serve one another? Didn't he buy you the snack to begin with? Technically, but it gave it to me. So we manage our genetic condition by monitoring. So we have to monitor. That means that we need to make sure that we're keeping a pulse like daily, like God, show me. Show me. You want to monitor it. I check my blood pressure frequently, right? Because I know that my doctor is going to want, when I go see him on Tuesday, he's going to ask me, what have your pressures been running? We need to be medicated. That's the word. And pride has to be managed. And please know, God is so good that you don't have to manage it solo dolo. This is where Holy Spirit comes in. This is why you have to be submitted and surrendered to him. He helps you manage. Because you don't have the capacity to do it on your own. Because we are genetically predisposed. And God sent us a helper. This is why you have to be in your word. This is why you have to surrender. Not a little bit, all the way. Nothing makes me more annoyed than when I'm trying to give my dog a snack. And the oldest, Kayla, she's 16, y'all. So she really acting like an old lady. And I'm like, Kayla, sit. She will sit a little bit. Like, she gives the impression that she's about to sit on her tush, and she doesn't. And a lot of us look like her. But no, the command was to sit on your butt, girl. Quit acting crazy. But we do that. We give God the appearance like, okay, I'm about to, and then as soon as I turn around, she up. Girl, please. And yes, God be giving me all kinds of examples between the kids at work and my fur babies. He uses my dogs to speak to me. Okay, any questions?
All right, sis, that is it for this week's episode. I pray that y'all enjoyed this series. I know it's non-traditional, okay? However, it's what needed to be done. And I'm so excited that God is so good that he allowed me a plan and a strategy to show up for y'all, because I told y'all in the episode about coming up for air that I was going through it. Do you hear me? And I just love that God still provided a way for us to connect, for me to pour, for me to steward well over this platform. And for y'all to get everything that he needs for y'all to have in this season. I don't find it by happenstance that God outlined this way, that he gave me these specific lessons. As I told y'all, there are hundreds of lessons that I've taught that I could have used. And I'm grateful that God still found a way to speak to y'all for what's needed in this dispensation of time, while also allowing me to take care of myself and the other areas that he's called me to. So I love y'all. Make sure that you connect with us in the society. Make sure that you download the app. Follow me on social. Go to my YouTube channel if you haven't, because girl, we've been cooking. Okay. When I say I'm back live and live in color next week, that's what I mean. It's what I mean, friend. I love you. Make sure that you rate. We strive for 5, okay, 5 stars, and leave a review. I love to read y'all's feedback, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.